All right, so we'll say let's begin. So we're off to Daf Kuf Dalet, Kuf Dal the Mishnah. So we'll say a number of very interesting cases today. Boskin Melach Al Gabe Kevesh Bishvil Shelo Yachliku. You can literally crush and spread salt on top of the ramp. Now, we'll say this is again. Remember, we're dealing with the next couple of Mishnayos, as with a couple of previous Mishnayos, are dealing with different things that occur within the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah over here says, for example, you can go ahead and sprinkle salt, break apart and spread salt on the ramp of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Bosai, take a look at Rashi. Boskin melach, mefazrin umekasesin ala kevesh. One would go ahead and break apart and spread salt on the ramp. Why? Bipnei shechalaku ukishan gishamim noflim alavu machlik. So Rabbi Bosai, again, this is talking about the outer altar. The Adam right, is Be'ach HaChitzon, which obviously was outdoors. So what would happen? If it would rain, often it would get slippery. Right? So what would they do? They would go and they would put salt down on the ramp of the ramp of the Mizbeach in order to prevent slippage. U'memalin mibor hagola. And you could go ahead and on Shabbat, you could fill up water from the bor hagola, from the pit of the Gola. So look at Rashi. Well, actually before Rashi, umibor hagodol. And from the great bar, from the large bar, bagalgal, with a galgal on Shabbos. So I will say a galgal, the literal English word, is a windlass. It's like it's a pulley. But instead of just a regular pulley, it's a two-part pulley. It's a mechanism by which you would go ahead and you draw water. Or it doesn't have to be just drawing water. You could lift up anything with a windlass. But the idea is that you would go ahead and you could use this mechanism on Shabbos. From the car well, right? B'Yom Tov. You could draw water on Yom Tov. So look at Rashi Rabosai. Umimalin mibar hagadol kach shman. So we'll say, apparently, the Bor HaGadol and Bor HaGadol, these were the actual names of the wells. Yeah. And both, Rashi says, were in Lishkas HaAzara. Both were in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And Ber HaYokar, Rashi says, you could draw from the Ber HaYokar on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Okay, so let's see what's happening over here. Says the Gemara, Rami Le Rav Ika, Me Pashrunya L'Rava. So Rav Ika from Pashrunya said to Rava, Tanan, we learned, Boskin melach al gabe hakevesh. You can go ahead and sprinkle salt, spread salt on the ramp of the Beis HaMikdash. Bishvil shelo yachliku. In order that people not slip, the Kohanim not slip when ascending the ramp. So the Gemara says, b'mikdash in. This is only true in the Beis HaMikdash, b'medina lo. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be able to do this. So the Gemara says, u'minhi. But the Gemara raises a kasha. Is that true? So we'll say now the Gemara quotes the Braisa. And the Braisa says, if you have a chotzer, right, you have a courtyard, and the courtyard itself was rained on, right, it gets all muddy. So what happens? Maybe teven, you could go ahead and bring straw, umiradeba. And I will say, what can you do? You could spread the straw on the ground on Shabbos. Now, why would you be doing this? Again, to prevent slippage. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you can go ahead and spread something on the ground. Now, we'll say, I want to be clear. What is it? What's the problem with spreading salt or spreading straw? What's the Havamina? The Havamina, interestingly, is that you are going to violate boneh, that you're going to violate building. Because the act of bolstering the ground, the Gemara feels, is similar to an act of building. So therefore, again, obviously it's midrabanan, it's not midoraisa. So therefore, again, this goes in line with what we learned before, that the rabbanans are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems to say you can only do this in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside. Now the Gemara quotes a braisa that shows that you could even go ahead and spread the straw on the ground, which would seemingly be the same exact thing, and you're doing this outside of the Beis HaMikdash, to which the Gemara says, no. Shiny tevin, straw is different, delo mevatale. Because Mosa, even though now a person is putting it on the ground, a person's intention is not to leave it on the ground. Meaning, ultimately, I guess when the earth would dry, a person would once again collect that. You could use it for animal feed or for something else. So the point is, because a person doesn't intend on leaving it there, therefore it's not considered to be an act of bona. As opposed to the salt, when you spread it on the ground, your intention is to leave it there. It hardens the ground, right? And therefore, the Maisa, that could be considered like bona. Look at Rashi. and therefore again you're not going to come to flatten out the ground at all. The malachahu b'shabbos the havi kebinyan the midi the chazi lemeichal behema olitit hachomos lo mevata lehasam ava melech mishenidras peregel lo chazi. So therefore the Gemara says like this, so straw, even when it's walked on, could still be used for animal feed, or it can still be used for building. A person will collect it afterwards and use it. Therefore, it's no concern that you're going to come to leave it there and ultimately smooth out the ground with it, which would be bone, as opposed to salt. Once it's been walked on, you're not using it for anything else, and therefore, again, it becomes part of the ground, an issue of bone. Therefore, only permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, not permitted in Medina. Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rabba L'Rav Ashi. Hai Melach Hechi Dami. So Rabbi said, the Gemara asks, what's the case of the salt? I demevatlei, if your intention is just to leave it on the ramp, kamosif abinyon, then in essence, are you not going ahead and adding on to the structure of the Mizbeach? Rabbi said, now what the Gemara points out of here, and Rashi says this, va'afilu b'chol aser, adding on to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash is aser even during the week. Why, Rabosai? Because lemaisa, the halacha is that the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash are very specific, and you cannot change them. That's not a Shabbos issue, that's a Beis HaMikdash issue. Mm-hmm. And therefore, lemaisa, the act of adding on to the Beis HaMikdash in any way will be aser. Because he quotes over here in the parentheses, uksiv hakol b'ksav miyala shamala yiskil. Right? The pasuk in, he's going to go over here, the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, indicating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the dimensions, Dvar B'Skil, and that's it. You don't add on to it. V'idelo kamevatlei. Now, also listen to this. Now, if you're not being mevatel the salt, meaning if your intention is to collect the salt afterwards, kahavi chatzitza, then Abosai does it not serve as an interposition between the Kohen and the Mizbeach. The halacha is that nothing could go ahead. There could be no chatzitza between the Kohen and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why, for example, the Kohen does not wear shoes when the Kohen does the Avodah. The Kohen does the Avodah barefoot. So the Gemara says, if you don't plan on leaving the salt there, then Lamaisa, when the Kohen walks up the ramp, he's walking on top of the salt, is that not the Chatzitza? To which the Gemara says, no. Baholachas Evarim Lekevesh, the Lav Avodah. What's the case? The case is where you are taking the limbs to the up the ramp. That's not part of the avodah. So we'll say apparently carrying the limbs of sacrificial limbs up the ramp is not part of the avodah. Because it's not part of the avodah, then lemaisa, even if there's a chatzitza between the kohen and the ramp, it's not a big deal. So Mar says, "Velo, is that true?" But yet the pasuk says the kohen will offer everything and he will burn it on the mizbeach. But Amar Mar and Mar said, "Zu halacha seivarim lekevesh." This vehikriv akoin esakol refers to the act of walking the limbs up the ramp, which indicates that what Rabbo saying, that this is part of the avodah. If it is part of the avodah, then what? Then lemaisa, having the salt there, can create a chatzitza. Ela ema baholachas eitzun lema'aracha delav avodahi. Rather say, what's the case? The case is where the salt is there, as the Kohen takes the wood to the top of the Mizbeach, the wood that will serve for the Ma'aracha, for the pyre. That I will say, apparently, is not part of the Avodah. So therefore, even if a Kohen were to walk up and there were to be salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, the mice, that would not pose a problem.
But what about the rest of the Avodah?
Correct, so they would sweep it off.
That would mean to him, but then they can't walk up in the rain.
Correct.
They might slip.
They do what they can. So the Gemara says, Darash Rava. So we'll say Rava Darsh in the following. Chatzer shenes kalkala b'meimei gishamim. If you have a chatzer that was ruined from rain, what it says in this kalkala means it becomes very muddy. So now you want to put something down for people to have traction. Mevi teven, so a person could bring straw. Umeradeba, and you spread the straw out on the chatzer. Amrali Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Vatanya ay, but we learned, kishuhu merade, eno merade lo besalva lo bekupa, elo beshule kupa. But yet we learned that when you spread out the straw, you can't spread out the straw from a basket or from a kupa as a box. Rather, you can only use it. Peshuli kupa literally means the bottom of a box. Now we'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, lo besal v'lo b'kupa. It's the last two short lines of Rashi. Lidro salav v'lo besal v'lo b'kupa. Excuse me. Kederechol. You can't spread straw on the ground from a box or from a basket. Because why? Well, so that's what's called uvdo dechol. Uvdah d'chomim, there are certain activities that you can't do on Shabbos. They're not necessarily malachos, but rather, again, they are weekday-like in nature. So the act of going ahead and spreading out straw from a box, from a basket, that's uvdah d'chol. So if you need to do that on Shabbos, which is permitted, the only thing you can do is shulei hakupa, Rashi says, sheneshkabra v'nishor shalayim. You can use a broken box. Like, for example, if you have a kupa, a box, or a basket that broke, which means the walls aren't necessarily there, but the bottom is there. So you could pile straw on that and use that to spread around. Okay? So meaning what you're essentially doing is you're employing a shinui. So the Gemara says, Hadar okim rava. Hadar okim rava. So we'll say, so again, so Rava was the one who came along and said, Rava just made an open statement saying that Lemaisa, you could spread straw on the muddy courtyard on Shabbos. They then confronted Rava by saying, but one second, you make it sound like you could just use any basket or any box. But the Brisa clearly says you could only use the broken box as a shinui. So what happened? Hadam, bless you. Hadar okim Rava Amora Ale. So we'll say afterwards, Rava got himself an Amora. Now what does he got himself an Amora? So remember, an Amora was like the Gemara also calls like a tour Gemara. So very often, it's an interesting idea that to be a great, you know, sometimes the greatest leaders were not necessarily the greatest orators. So what happened, like the greatest example, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself, right, indicates that his oratory skill was lacking. Chosh Baruch gave him incredible siyata d'shmaya. So what happened, some of the Tanaim who had incredible words of Torah, incredible knowledge, but didn't necessarily know how to properly disseminate it to the, didn't know the right words for the public, or didn't, for that matter, didn't want to spend the time distilling it down to the general populace, would get an Amora. And it was the Amora's job to take the teachings of the Tana and to package it in a way that was understandable. So Rava gets himself a new Amora, Vidarash, and he said the following, Dvarim Shamar to Lifneichem, the things which I said before you, Ta'os Hein Biyadi, I made a mistake. So Rava now is saying, when I issued the previous halachic ruling, I made a mistake. What was my mistake? Baram kach amr mishum Rabbi Eliezer, because it is clear that this is what is the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Because remember, Rava said, when I said that you can go ahead and sprinkle the straw, I made a sign you can do whatever you want. In truth, the halacha is that when you sprinkle the straw, ain't on merada, you can't sprinkle it. Lo b'salva, lo b'kupa. Not using a basket, not using a box. Ella b'shulei kupa. But rather, again, even Rava ultimately agrees that when you spread the straw out on the ground, you can only do so with a shinui. Fine, says the Gemara. Memalin mibar hagola. You can go ahead and fill up from the bar hagola. So remember, this was this water, this well, that was within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says you could do it with this galgal, with this mechanism, with the windlass, that would go ahead and allow you to crank it up. So Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. Ula went to the house of Rav Menashe. Us is a very interesting case. Asahu gavra taref abava. Someone came and knocked on the door. Amr, so Ula said, Man hai, who is this one? Whoever he is, lischal gufei. Let his body wither away, dikamachale l'shabsa, because he's violating Shabbos. I will say, why is he violating Shabbos? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, dikamachal Shabbos, first white line in Rashi, dikasavar kol ilude kala asr. Ula apparently was of the opinion that any production of sound, hashma'as kolan Shabbos, is asr. Even non-musical sound, but the production of any sound is asr on Shabbos. Therefore, Ula felt that the one who was knocking on the door was violated by Shema's call, was Machal Shabbos. Amarli Rava, so Rava said, what are you talking about? Lo asru ela kol shalshir. It's not the rabbis didn't prohibit any sound, but rather, again, they only prohibited musical sound. So on Shabbos, one has to be careful not to produce music. We'll discuss what that means. Sound of music, okay, right? One has to be careful not to produce any kind of sound of music. Esve Abai, Sabai raised the kasha, we'll say. Ma'alin bidiyufi, umatilin me'arak l'chol l'b'shabbos. We'll say it's an interesting case. So ma'alin bidiyufi is you can go ahead and you could move liquid from one receptacle to another receptacle with a siphon. Diufi is a siphon, but that's not really what we're concerned about so much for today. We're looking at the second part. This is interesting. So they had this thing called an arak, right? So not the arak that you're thinking of, right? But an arak was this contraption, which essentially was like a metal receptacle with a little metal pan on it. And what would happen is when you would lift off the top and air would come in, little droplets of water would come out through the little holes on the bottom and would like ping against the bottom metal pan. Now we'll discuss exactly why this was used, right? Bepashtos, this was a Talmudic alarm clock, right? Whatever, or this was a way of getting people up. So you can go ahead and you could allow the use the arak on Shabbos to wake up a chola. Because again, the reason he's saying the chola over here is because often they wouldn't want to directly wake up a chola because they wouldn't want to nudge the chola too much. So they would wake them up in a quieter way by hearing the ping of the arak coming down. So Rashi, so all right, let's go on to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "L'chola in lebari lo." See, interestingly enough, what do we see from here? We see from here that you could only use the arak for a chola, but let's say you couldn't use this to go ahead and wake up a healthy person. Now, why not? Hechi dami. What's the case? Meaning, why are you using the arak? Lav dinim the kaboy delitar. So I'll say, are we not talking about a case over here where what? Where the chola is asleep, and the goal of the arak is what? To wake him up. Now, I will say, if the goal of the arak is to wake him up, so then what kind of sound must it be? What must it be? It must be a non-melodic sound, right? This Gemara is assuming, because again, l'maisa, a melodic sound is not going to wake a person up. Very often, a melodic sound will actually keep a person asleep. So it must be that it's a non-melodic sound. And yet, what do we see? The production of a non-melodic sound is only permitted when? For a chole, not permitted for a bari. So what do you see from here, the Gemara says? The Gemara wants to show that this is a support for Ula. Because Ula was of the opinion that Hashma is called production of sound. It's also even for non-melodic sound. Shma mina alude kala asir. So what do you see from here? That Lamaisa, any production of sound, any, even non-melodic sound, is asir on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Lo, detir v'kabai delenim. No. The case of where the chola is awake and the chola is having difficulty falling asleep. And what do? You want to use the arak to put him to sleep. Dimishtama ki kala dizamzumi. Apparently, again, the arak makes a soft sound like jingling bells. So we've got sound of music, jingling bells, right? You've got a lot going on today, right? So now, in fact, what the Gemara is saying is it actually makes a melodic sound. That's the chap of the Gemara. It is actually melodic, and that's why, again, lemaisa, for a bari, you can't do it, but for a chola, you can. Gemara is another kasha. So we'll say again, remember, we're still locked. The Gemara is trying to figure out who is correct in this machlokes between Ula and Rabba. Rabba says only melodic sound. Chazal said you can't produce melodic sound on Shabbos. Ula said even non-melodic sound. So the Gemara says Eisvei. Gemara is a kasha. Hamishamer peros of mitneha ofos. If someone wants to watch his peros because of birds, I mean, he doesn't want birds taking the fruit from his field, or his gourds because of animals, meaning he doesn't want animals coming into his garden, his orchard, his vegetable patch to take his food. You can go ahead and watch the field in your normal way on Shabbos. So meaning, what that's saying over here, we'll say is, sometimes just the mere human presence there is enough to go ahead and keep the animals away. However, but we can't clap your hands. Rash says yisapik is kaf al kaf. You can't go ahead lo yitapeach. We'll say yitapeach means the act of going ahead and literally, it means clapping your hand against. Rash is alibo, against your chest, but it is against your leg, against any other part of your body for the production of sound. Velo yirakid. So we'll say yirakid over here doesn't mean dance, but yirakid over here means stamp on the ground. So the idea is what? You can go ahead and you can stand in your field, but what can't you do? You can't make noise. Kederach shein osin b'chol, as one would do during the week. So the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason? Lav dekamolet kolo. Oh, why should this be usher? It must be usher, I will say, because you are producing sound. V'chol alude kolo usher. And what do you see from here, Abbo Sai? That any production of sound is usher. Even what? Even non-melodic sound. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, Gezera Shema Yitol Tzror. The Rebbe will say, what's the issue? The issue over here is of a concern that if we allow you to start making noise, what you make it so caught up and so carried away, chasing the animals, what will you do? You may come to pick up a stone to throw it at the animals. Now we'll say, then what could happen? As Rashi points out, then one could end up actually throwing an object from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which could manage to be an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay. So we'll say, so still we have no clear raya, either way in the Machlokas, Ula and Rabbah. Ve'elah ha'da amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav. I have attacked with Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav. Nashim ha'misachakos be'egozim. Women who are playing with nuts. So I will say, apparently there was this game. Rashi says, misachakos be'egozim. It's the second to last line in Rashi. Legalgalan derech daf. Umakos zu ezu kidar shom misachakos ha'nashim. So I don't know why this was dafka with women. But whatever it is, there used to be this game that people played with nuts. Apparently, the way Rashi seems to indicate it is you went ahead and you had nuts on the ground and you had like a little board, and the goal would be to see if you could slide the nut down and hit the nut that's already there. Okay. Marbles. It's cheap. It's easy. It's fun. Right? I'm sorry?
Marbles,
yeah. So what about... I'm sorry?
Jackson Ball.
Jackson Ball. Is that a person?
That's another
game. Oh, Jack. I said Jackson Ball. I'm wondering who that was. Right. Okay, Jackson Ball. Got it. Got it. Okay. All right, I understand. All right, so says the Gemara, so we'll say, so now listen to this. So, Noshon Sachakos Begozim, Osir. So, to play this game is Osir on Shabbos. My time, and that was the reason. Lav de Kamolid Kola. Is it not because we'll say the act of the knots hitting against each other creates noise? The chol alu de kala aser, and any production of sound, even non-melodic sound, is aser on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. Dilma asi la'ashvuye gumos. Rabbo said the concern there is that what? Where would people play this game? On the dirt ground. And there was a concern that in order to play the game better, people would level out the ground. Obviously, Rabbo said leveling out the ground could be an isur d'oraisa, depending on where you're doing it. Remember, we had this before. If you're doing it inside your home, then it could be bona. If you're doing it outside your home, then it's zorea. The ilo teimachi, because if you don't say this, meaning if you don't say it, if you think that the issue is because of sound, and if you don't accept the fact that the issue is because you may smooth out the ground, then hada amar Rav Yehuda nashim misachakos bitapuchim aser. So we'll say apparently they used to play the same game not just with nuts but with apples. Now with apples, Rabbi said the Gemara says hasam my elude kala ika. There's no sound when the apples hit each other. So obviously there's no concern there with sound. Rather ella. Dilma asa la ashvuye gumos. Therefore, the Maestro Rabbah said it would appear that the issue over there with the both with the nuts as well as with the apples is that one may come to go and smooth out the ground. So Rabbah said the Maestro, the Gemara still has no raya either way in Machol Gustina Baye, excuse me, Tina Baye and Ula. It's Rabban Ula, excuse me.
It sings mirrors and Shabbos, that's sound?
No, this is producing sound, not with your voice. Not with your voice. This is tapping. This is correct. That's what the Gemara means by production of sound. Tanan, memalin mi bar hagola. And goes, remember, understand all of this falls in under the concern of also creating instruments. We'll discuss why this is. But the assumption over here, correct, is not production of sound vocally. It's production of sound through hitting something, through banging something, tapping on something. Tanan, memalin mi bar hagola. So we'll say now the Gemara tries to bring a raya from the Mishnah. You can't go ahead and fill up from the pit, for what they call the Bar Hagola, the pit of exile, which again, according to the Mishnah, was one of the wells in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So you could fill up from the Bar Hagola, Bar Hagola, B'Galgal, B'Shabbos, right? B'Mikdash, and B'Medina, so we'll say, what did the Mishnah say? You can go and you can fill up from the Bar Hagola, and from the Bor HaGadol, right, with a galgal, with the windlass, with this contraption, this pulley system, in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside. So the Gemara says, my timer, that will say, interestingly enough, why can't you do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash? So I will say, the issue over here seems to be the usage of the pulley system, because you could take water from a well on Shabbos, assuming that, that you're okay with all of your reshuyos, but why can't you use the pulley system outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Lav mishum da'alude kala va'asir. Is it not because that what? That you'll come to produce sound, meaning the usage of the pulley system creates noise. And so the assumption there for the Gemara is maybe you can't produce noise outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because also remember, I want to be clear, even Ula who says that the production of non-melodic noise is Asra and Shabbos, of course it's Drabon, it's not Doraisa. So therefore, if it's Drabon, it'll be permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, but prohibited outside. So the Gemara says, no, it's not about noise. Lo, Gzeira Shema Yimale Leginaso Ulichorvaso. No. The issue over here is what? that Rabosai, because with the pulley system, it is so easy to draw water and large amounts of water totally effortlessly, then what's going to happen? We're concerned that one may come to water their garden and their churva. Churva means ruin. I would say, why are they water their ruin? Because often what would happen is people would plant things in an area that was a ruin, because you can't, it's no longer fit for habitation, they would plant it. So because you could draw water with such ease, and you could draw such quantity, we're concerned that a person may come to water their vegetation. Look at Rashi. Since you're drawing water without really any effort, you'll come to go ahead and water your garden, and with your churva on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Hacha, I'm sorry, my time of Gezurban, Shema Yimalei Legina, so the Chavaso, Hacha, Lo Gina Ika, for Lo Churva Ika, so the Gemara, excuse me, I skipped something. Right, good. Ameymar Shara, Lememla Biglilasa, excuse me, Ameymar Shara, Ameymar permitted, Lememla Biglilila, B'mechuzah. So Amemar permitted people to draw water with this pulley system in the city of Mechuzah. Why? Amar my time agazu Rabban, and he said, why is it that the rabbi said you can't use the pulley system? Shema yimali leginos to lechavaso, because I have a concern that the people may come to go ahead and water their gardens because it's so easy to fill up with water. Hacha lo gineika v'lo churba ika. So then he said in Mechuzah. Apparently Mechuzah, I guess, was a city, a real urban area. And what happened? No one had gardens. There were no gardens, no vegetable patches, nothing. And therefore what? Amemar felt that there should be no reason to go ahead and prohibit filling up with the windlass. To which the Gemara says, Kevan dakachaza, dika amundes, dika taruba kisna. But what happens? He saw that what ended up happening is people would go ahead and soak flax. So apparently even though they did not have vegetable patches, They still soaked flax. I guess in part of the production of flax, you need to go ahead and soak it. So therefore, what happened? Asra lehu. Then he prohibited them to draw water with the windlass out of a concern, again, that they'll come to soak the flax on Shabbos as well. Okay. Umi be'er akar. And remember, the Mishnah said that you cannot fill up from the be'er hakar. Remember, the Mishnah said you can't fill up from the be'er hakar on Shabbos, but you can go ahead and fill up from it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "My be'er hakar, hakir? What is this be'er hakir?" Amar Shmuel, bor shehikru aleha dvarim ve'tiruha. So it refers to the bar that ultimately, again, hikru aleha dvarim. They went ahead and they spoke about many different matters. They went ahead and hikru aleha dvarim means they argued about many different matters with this bar, v'hitiruha, and then they permitted it. Okay? So what is this talking about? So look at Rashi. Sheikra le'advarim, kisha'alu min agola, when they came up from the diaspora, hutzrichula, Rabbi said they needed this well, kidla kamon, v'nimna v'hitiruha, ubatlo takanas hashavus mimeno, l'malos himela bagalgal. So we'll say, listen to this. So apparently what the Gemara says is like this. When they came back from the diaspora, talking about Second Temple era, when they came back to the Second Beis HaMikdash, they needed this well. There was this additional well that was outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, and they needed it. Why did they need it? Because it apparently was a water source for the general populace. But it's not just that they needed it. They needed to draw water with the galgal from it. They needed to draw water from the windlass. They apparently needed large quantities of water. So what happened? So they went ahead and they got together, they argued over it, and they decided to suspend the rabbinic prohibition regarding this particular well. So the Gemara says, Meisve, lo kolaboros hikaros hetiru elazu bilvad. They did not permit all of these wells except for this one. V'i amrit shehekru dvarim aleha, maizo bilvad. And if you say that lemaisa, they went ahead and they argued about this well. What does it mean, this well? Rather, what are we talking about over here? It was in fact a real well. Be'er Mayim Chaim. It was a well from a fresh spring. Thank you. Shine'emar, as the pasuk says, Ka'kir Be'er Meimeha. Right, as a wellspring causes its waters to flow. Kufa Lo amru kala boros hakaros etiru ela zu bilvad. They did not go ahead and permit all of these boros except for this one. Kisha alu bnei agola chanu aleha, because when the Jews from the diaspora came back, they camped around it. Unevim shebenehem, and the prophets among them hetiru lahen, permitted them. Velo nevim shebenehem ela minag avoseim biadehem. But rather, again, says the Gemara, and it wasn't the Nevi'im, but rather, again, it was customary from days old. So we'll say, what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Nevi'im Shebeinehem, Chagai Zechari Umalachi, Minagavoseim Ba'osabar. So we'll say, listen to this. So apparently what the Gemara says is the following, that the Lemaisa, here's what we have. One could go ahead and draw water, even with the galgal, even with the windlass, even with this contraption, from the boros that are in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. That's totally fine. Why? Because the usage of the windlass to begin with is only Issa D'Rabbanan, out of a concern that one may come to go ahead and water, because it's so easy to draw water, that one may come to water their garden, their gina, etc. In the Beis HaMikdash, that concern does not apply, and therefore Lemaisa, it's permitted. Out of the Beis HaMikdash, the concern does apply, and therefore Lemaisa, it is Aser. Oh, thank you. And is that for you? You have it. Okay. You need it more than me. You can use it. I have. So the Gemara says that she could, so therefore in the Beis HaMikdash you could use it. Apparently the Mishnah says that outside of the Beis HaMikdash they prohibit it except for one well, what they call this Bor HaKar. This one well. And in this one well, they allowed it to use it because apparently, again, when the Jews came up from the Gola, there was a need for this one well. It's Aser Midirabanan. But the Rosai, remember, Lemaisa, what it comes down to is, since it's an Iser Dirabanan, therefore, again, the Chazal could get together and go ahead and choose to suspend it. They chose to suspend it in this one particular well. Okay, says the Mishnah. I'm sorry? Oh, good, good. So, Rabba wins. The way we paskin is that the Isser of Hashma'as Kolan Shabbos is only usser in the production of melodic sound. But is not usser in just general non-melodic sound. So, for example, to go ahead and knock on the door, no one's going to wish death upon you for being Mechal Shabbos, hopefully. Right? For going out, that is not Kol Shabbos. Now, I will tell you, however, the one distinction is one is not permitted to use a utensil whose primary purpose is for the production of sound, even non-melodic sound. So for example, on Shabbos, you are not permitted to use a door knocker, because a door knocker is a utensil, is a kli that is designated for the production of sound. Even though it's non-melodic sound, you still can't use that on Shabbos. But to knock on the door regularly is absolutely okay. Let's go back there. Says the Mishnah. Hilchos Shabbos later. Says the Mishnah, Sheretz Shenimtza B'Mikdash. If you find a Sheretz, if you find a dead rodent in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, now again, obviously you have Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, so what do you do? So Sheretz Shenimtza B'Mikdash, Kohen Motzio Behem Yono. So we'll say, this interesting case. Now you find the Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, a dead rodent. So what happened? The Kohen removes it. Hemyono Rabosa is his sash. Remember, one of the big dekuna is an avnet, is a belt. It's a belt, but this wasn't like a belt like you're talking about. You know what I'll say, like, You see in Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalmi Hasidim. So on Shabbos, they wear this big, thick gartel. So that's like the avnet of the Kohen God, of the Kohen, right? Right? Like, it looks like a wimple, right? Like a wimple on a person. See it, right? So that's called the avnet. That's called the sash. So it says the Mishnah, if a sheretz dies in the Beis HaMikdash, so what happens? The Kohen takes it out with his sash. He wraps it up in his sash and he quickly takes it out. Shlo lishos es ha-tumah, in order not to maintain the presence of tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. These are Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Bitzeves shel eitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't use the sash. Because we'll say, what happens if you use the sash? If you use the sash, then the sash itself becomes tumah. And what you're doing is you're then perpetuating tumah. So therefore, what does Rabbi Yochanan suggest? He suggests that you use tongs made of wood. Rabbi will say, why? Now why? Because remember, a wood utensil without a base kibul that does not have a receptacle is not mekabel tumah. What we call pshutei kli eitz. Pshutei kli eitz means wood utensil without a receptacle. Receptacle means a halal area. So a tongue, by definition, would not have a base kibul, therefore not be mekabel tumah. So get the sheretz, get it out. Shalom. L'rabos es ha-tumah. Because again, Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even if it means letting the tumah stay in the bit, because remember, Rabbi Osai, the chiluk is like this. If you could scoop it out with your sash, what does that mean? It means the moment the kohen finds it, he could scoop it up and get it out. If you're going to get the wooden tongs, then what? Then what? That takes a couple of moments, right? It's not the pshat, the coin. It's not like, you know, the coin doesn't have like a utility belt, right? I'm saying it's not like Batman. You know, he's got everything. So the tongs, he doesn't have them right there. He's got to go. So he's got to get them, which means that the sheretz is going to sit there for a couple of extra moments. But says Rabbi Yehuda, that's okay because I'd rather have the tumah there for a couple of extra moments and not proliferate the amount of tumah that's in the Beis Hamikdash. Mehechan motzien also. So we'll say another question. Another question that deals with what. What parts of the mikdash, if you were to find a rodent in it, would you have to remove the rodent? Meaning, obviously, we assume you have to remove. Meaning, what areas of the mikdash does the rodent have to be removed from? So the Gemara says, mina heichal, u mina ulam. So heichal. So what's the heichal? The heichal is the area that we call the kodesh and the kodesh hakodeshim, the area inside the structure of the base of mikdash itself. U mina ulam. Ulam Rabbi Osai is the antechamber. Remember, we had this in the beginning of the Erev and Rav Osai. Remember, again, we were trying to discuss the height of the korah for the mavui. So we're looking at two different entrance ways. The entrance way of the antechamber, which was 20 amos high, versus the entrance way of the ulam, which was 10 amos high. So from the ulam, umi bein ha'ulam the mizbeach, and from the area between the ulam, the antechamber, and the outer mizbeach, right? Because remember, when you walked into the courtyard, there was the mizbeach, and then behind the mizbeach was the entrance way to the ulam. Divrei Rabbi Shem Ben Anas. These words, Rabbi Shem Ben Anas. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kol makom shechayavin al zedono karis al shigagaso chatos misham motzien also. Rabbi Akiva says, you have to remove a sheretz from any place of Osai, where if you were tameh, if you were to enter into it intentionally, you would be chayiv karis. And if you did it unintentionally, you have to bring a chatos. So any area that would carry that level of liability, that's an area from which you must remove the sheretz. Usha'ar kala makomos, but in any other place in the Beis HaMikdash, kofin alav pisachtar, you go and I will say, pisachtar is a copper utensil. You take a copper utensil, put it over the sheretz, and leave it alone until after Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, makom she'etiru lecha chachamim, mishalcha nasnu lecha. Shalo etiru lecha ele mishum shavos. He'll say, it's a very interesting statement. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, I just want to tell you, wherever the rabbis relax their prohibitions, they're not giving you anything. What are they doing? They're simply giving you that which was already yours. Because they're only relaxing the prohibitions that they imposed. So we'll have to see exactly what why Rabbi Shimon is saying this. But we'll say what Rabbi Shimon is saying is, you know, in all of these Mishnayos, we see how, again, the rabbis are being makil. Rabbi Shimon says, they're not being makil. What are they doing? They're relaxing their chumras. Because what the rabbis essentially did is put on another layer of legality. And therefore, when the rabbis are relaxing, I say, as Rabbi Shimon says, is they're restoring you to what your rights were pre-rabbinic legislation. They're just simply giving you back the rights that were already yours. Okay, let's do... All right, let's do one more line. No, actually, I'll say we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with, we have time tomorrow in Mirtz Hashem, so we'll pick up in Mirtz Hashem here in the Gemara. Shukayach. And a shukayach to Ari for the coffee.